The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, brought to you by Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, the Vox Media Podcast Network, and produced by Shway Media. You know me, folks. My name is Michael Sizemore. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. And with me, as always, my co-host, the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour, folks. It is Tom Ryle.
Yay!
And you can follow Tom Ryle on Twitter at TomRyleBTB. A lot has happened since we last spoke last week. As from our last episode, Dak Prescott was tagged, which we talked about. Amari Cooper was re-signed, which we talked about. And Gerald McCoy was brought in for the Cowboys. But we will get into more of that free agency because we actually have some, you know, breaking news that needs to come first. And that's the fact that the Cowboys 7-year starting center Travis Frederick, All-Pro, 6-time Pro Bowler, has decided to hang it up and retire. This comes as news to Cowboys fans, but not news to the team. It seems like most people kind of already knew. Travis Frederick's a very, very intelligent and very transparent type of player. He probably spoke with every single person on his team, and something he's been thinking about for a while. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, you have to suspect that it was not just the fact that last year was a little bit of a struggle for him. He was still good. Don't misunderstand.
I mean, he made the Pro Bowl.
He was still a starting caliber center, but he was not up to his standards. And there's kind of the implication that it was a lot harder for him than anybody might have realized. Yeah. And, you know, obviously the team knew they re-signed Joe Looney, which I was surprised a little bit at the time because I thought he could go somewhere else and get more money or whatever.
Yeah, but you and I both were, Tom. We both thought that Joe Looney could be a starter somewhere else, especially after his 2018 season where he started for Travis Frederick when Frederick was dealing with the Guillain-Barr syndrome. Joe Looney, I mean, he was, you know, the Cowboys struggled, but it wasn't because of Joe Looney. He was pretty incredible stepping in for Travis Frederick.
Yeah, so now we find out maybe he was told, look, you're going to get a chance to be a starter right here.
Yeah.
They've also, they kept, and I've gone blank, but I know they kept one of their UDFA types center.
Yeah.
So he's kind of deep insurance. But the name everybody's really looking at is Connor McGovern, who played, I think, 13, 14 games in college at center.
Yeah, he started 14 games at center for Penn State. He's, you know, highly touted coming out of college. He was, honestly, most people within the Cowboys organization call him the Zach Martin pick. Zach Martin wanted him. So Zach Martin made the big, you know, push for him. And Connor McGovern's a very good player. He just hasn't been able to see the field yet because he was injured in his rookie season. However, take a redshirt year, and now you might get the chance to start among the best offensive line in all of football.
Yeah, and or help maintain that tradition. So it's like the Cowboys had a plan.
Yes.
Apparently. So that's, you know, this is not the shot to the gut that, like, having Jason Witten announce he was retiring literally during the draft.
Yeah, I did have a couple of questions for you, Tom. You just started talking. My first question was, what will the Cowboys do to soften the blow? But you've started talking about that. The re-signing of Joe Looney is, you know, that's definitely an even smarter signing now when you look at it. And then, you know, the Cowboys, you know, we got to talk about Connor Williams. They drafted Connor Williams from the University of Texas. Now, he hasn't played center before, but he's the big thing about, you know, Connor Williams has always been his high football IQ and the versatility mm-hmm. that he has. I am not so inclined to move Connor Williams because then mm-hmm. you're moving Connor McGovern, and then now you're moving two different spots.
Yeah, to me, let's use the simplest path forward. We've got, like I just rattled off, Adam Redmond is the guy they kept. So they've got him as, you know, the third option. And then between Looney and McGovern, I'd have to say that you'd want to figure, especially with the curtailment of any offseason and preseason activities right now, you know, we don't even know when and if football is going to start this year. But if it does get underway, it's going to be a compressed thing. That says Looney will be the initial starter. McGovern will be working to take over that spot, but maybe more like next year.
Yeah, and I also just got to ask, do you think that this should change the Cowboys' draft plans in any way? On Blogging the Boys, I will have a mock draft coming up. Connor Livesey and myself, we do the mock drafts for Blogging the Boys that you can find. And we took into consideration the Travis Frederick retirement, and we did a mock exercise as if the Cowboys were going to now change their draft a little bit to fit that. You talked about how the Cowboys already have a plan in place. It's going to be really hard to ever supplant a guy like Travis Frederick, who I think he's, you know, Hall of Fame material for just the 7 years he spent with the Cowboys and how many accolades he was able to and things he was able to accomplish there. But when it comes to the draft plans, do you think that the Cowboys would be best served to not, you know, weigh heavily on this Travis Frederick thing? Because it's highly unlikely that you would find another player like Travis Frederick anyway, as lucky as the Cowboys were.
But you give me something interesting to springboard off of. First off, I don't think this really changes their plans, because I think their plans were already lined up, because as I said, it just seems fairly obvious that Frederick was at least communicating with them that this was where he was starting to head. And he may even have told them some time ago and just, for whatever reason, waited on the timing to announce it now. Mm-hmm. Or there may have been some final medical check or something, you know, that we don't know. But for whatever reason, I do believe the team knew. I don't think their plans changed a bit. When people say that, you know, do you think the Cowboys ought to change their draft plans? What you're really saying is, do you think I should change my mock drafting strategy?
Well, thanks for calling me out, Tom. But it's just an exercise, damn it. Okay. I didn't say that that's what I wanted to do. So what I'm looking at here is I think along the same lines as you, Tom. I don't think you should change your draft strategy, especially when you have all these, you know, plans in place. You got Joe Looney, you got Connor Williams and Connor McGovern and all that whole thing, and you got, you know, Adam Redmond. I just think that it would be, if you change your plans because you're hoping to land another Travis Frederick type of player in the draft, that's where I kind of agree with you there. Those are the mock drafters that think that, if you automatically take somebody at 17 overall, that he's going to be a Hall of Fame player, and it's just not the truth.
That's kind of the same school of thought of the people that are saying, I'll walk on from Dak and just draft his replacement. It don't work that way.
Yeah, of course. And so I do want to talk about real quick before we get off the Travis Frederick stuff is the cap ramifications of Travis Frederick retiring. I know that as of right this second, the Cowboys would not really gain much cap space. It'd be about $1 million. $11 million would hit the dead space for the Cowboys in 2020. But you seem to think that the Cowboys are going to play this a little smart going forward.
Yeah. And I admit that there's a little confusion out here, because this is not a situation that, you know, comes up every day. And some people, there's two different things that are coming out. One, that they are allowed to take his dead money mm-hmm. and split it in half. So that you know, I've seen that out there, and I don't know where that's coming from, but the people that are saying it are not stupid people. So his dead money, as it stands, if everything went into effect right now, is just a tick over $11 million. So there are some people saying they could move $5.5 million, split it over 2 years, and take the hit in 2020 and 2021. The other thing is that I believe, if I understand how it works, and I will admit that I can't pin this down and be absolutely certain, but if he just holds his paperwork and puts it in after June 1st, then, you know, his dead money drops down to about $5 million, and it frees up $7 million in cap space. And that, to me, seems like, okay, if you can cut dead money down to $5 million on somebody that had the large contracts he did, and I don't see why he would have a problem just, you know, okay, I've announced my retirement. You know, I'll turn my paperwork in on June 2nd, and we're good to go.
Yeah, because it's not like he's not going to get what is owed to him. The Cowboys are not going to go the way of the Detroit Lions going back after Calvin Johnson's signing bonus and stuff. And look where Detroit is now. They have no relationship with probably one of the best receivers in their history after trying to take money back. The Cowboys did the same with Tony Romo. They didn't take anything from him. They allowed Tony Romo to have his contract and kept their word there. So I just think that they wouldn't do something like that to Travis Frederick. They would rather just kind of use the NFL rules, like you said, as far as the June 1st cut type of thing to remove him from the roster, but also get a little cap relief.
And it's just like, it seems to me, and as I understand, there's definitely nothing wrong with that. You know, I remember, for whatever reason, Romo held off on submitting his retirement papers until very late. Mm-hmm. You know, he felt like he literally turned his retirement papers in as he settled in behind the mic for the first time with CBS Sports.
Yeah, getting the pen to the paper. So real quickly before we go to break, do you think that this is Joe Looney's job, or do you think that Connor McGovern can possibly challenge him for it?
I would lean towards McGovern wouldn't really be able to challenge for it the first game of the season. I think they're going to want to let him season. Now, they may, depending on how things go, they might want to revisit that at midseason, again, assuming we've got anything like a normal season coming up.
Technically, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, he's a rookie, so it'd be hard for him to beat a veteran like Joe Looney.
Yeah. I really would think they would be thinking more of him around towards 2021.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I kind of think that what gets lost here is, like, we were just, you know, pointing fun at some of the mock drafters thinking that now that you have to go and take a center, you know, you have to trade up or trade back and take Lloyd Cushenberry or something like that. What makes me laugh at that is that, again, this is Travis Frederick, guys. This is in 7 years, he went to 6 Pro Bowls and was an All-Pro. I mean, this is not somebody that you can just get, like, any draft is going to produce these type of guys. And that's why I look at it and say the Cowboys would be best to not, you know, change their plans for one, but also just kind of understand that they're in this league. There are Travis Fredericks and Jason Kelsey's that are at the top of their game and the top centers in the NFL ever since day one, since they walked in. And then there are other guys that Joe Looney kind of competes with. And I think that – I don't think that center necessarily is – I think that it's kind of the one position on the team that we did see, you know, a little bit of suffrage in 2018 with, but that's because they were also starting Connor Williams next to him at left guard, and they didn't have the, you know, the intelligence of Travis Frederick to call out plays and to assist, you know, blocking on those sides. Joe Looney was kind of taking care of his own, which I don't think is a knock on him. I do think that Joe Looney's a pretty decent center.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys free agency and what has been done since we last spoke. We'll be right back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. And we are back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. You can follow me at Mr. Sizemore on Twitter. You can follow my co-host Tom Ryle at Tom Ryle BTB. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. And moving on from the Travis Frederick breaking news of retirement, we're now talking about the free agency. Free agency is open here. Even though the country is mostly shut down, free agency is still occurring because you can do that over your phone or Apple Watch or whatever you want to do.
So for NFL fans, at least you've got something to divert your mind out there.
Exactly. So since we last spoke, the Cowboys, you know, came to terms with Gerald McCoy on a three-year, $18.3 million deal, $9 million guaranteed. And $6.1 million average. The Cowboys do have an out clause, though, at 1 year, $6.35 million. So not a huge contract there, but the biggest one that they've probably dished out so far. There are rumors, Tom, that the Cowboys are also looking for more defensive tackle help in Dontari Poe, the former Kansas City Chief, former Carolina Panthers defensive tackle, who's 29 years old, but in his career has 118 starts, almost 300 tackles, 49 quarterback hits, 31 tackles for a loss, 20 and a half sacks, 14 pass breakups, and 2 forced fumbles. That would make a pretty good combination, wouldn't you think? Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe?
Yeah, and you have to wonder if the coaches and the staff are interested in that whole idea of putting them back together on the field. And it also raises some interesting thoughts about what are they going to do with McCoy, because, you know, he's had some snaps as basically a right defensive end, which, yeah, you know, it just so happens the Cowboys are kind of looking for answers that, well, right defensive end. Mm-hmm. And that makes you really wonder. Now, the other thing is that Poe is the player that the Cowboys just refused to sign for years. He's that big, strong one tech. He's
What I always refer to as a Coke machine with arms.
Yep. He's around 340, 350, depending upon where you look at the stats on him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 6'2", so he's not exceptionally tall for that weight. Can just, you know, forklift people sometimes.
Yeah, he's nasty. He's just a nasty run defender. You can look at the proof is in his production, like I just rattled off his numbers for his career, Tom. But Dontari Poe, I mean, this is a guy that I remember Travis Frederick talking about as a rookie was his toughest matchup, because this guy is just disruptive, disruptive. And we know that the defensive tackle position is always not going to be a glorified position in the NFL, but maybe the Cowboys are looking at, you know, Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe, both from the Carolina Panthers. Maybe the Cowboys saw some stuff from that defense that they liked last year. Mike Nolan probably saw things up close because he played them twice per season with the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could tell you one thing that Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe would do, and that makes this defensive line much bigger.
Yeah, and the Cowboys did get gashed over the past couple of seasons because other teams seem to find a way to, as you said, just out-muscle them on the line. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, without digging out video and trying to go into it, the simple fact is that sometimes running games that were nothing outside of the Cowboys suddenly just blew up. So I think they're looking to try to stop that, because as much as it is a passing league, you still kind of have to take care of the run, or teams will exploit that and just get you off balance, and things will just snowball on you. So, yeah, this is a very welcome development, and I also have to wonder what Jim Tomsula, what role he's playing in all this, because I think it's pretty significant.
Yeah, and I think that people are kind of out there, you know, in Cowboys Nation getting really caught up in, oh, does this mean that the Cowboys are going to be a 3-4 defense? I don't really think you need to worry about 3-4, 4-3 alignment, especially when you think that the league is just different now. I mean, the way defenses play football, you know, you're in nickel most of the game anyway. There's going to be 4-man fronts, 3-man fronts, depending on what, you know, package you are in. And I think that, like you said, Gerald McCoy can play some right end, and he can play some defensive tackle. It just might be that instead of like where the Cowboys were, where they claimed to want versatility, but they kind of kept people in their own, you know, in their own little situations and where they were. Maybe, just maybe, the Cowboys, new Cowboys, Mike Nolan, he's got other thoughts. He's already valuing or seemingly valuing one techs and defensive tackle help. I think I would like to see Gerald McCoy and Don Terry Poe in the middle with DeMarcus Lawrence screaming off the edge. I think I'd like to see that.
Yep.
Okay, and we also got to talk about the Cowboys signing safety, HaHa Clinton Dix, on a one-year, $4 million deal, $2.5 million guaranteed. HaHa Clinton Dix was a guy that I wrote about on Blogging the Boys at the start of free agency, saying that this just made a lot of sense, that Mike McCarthy would probably use some of his connections with Clinton Dix and bring him in. And I think it's a hell of a deal for a guy that I really do believe has versatility at safety, yeah, exactly what Stephen Jones has talked about over the past couple of years.
Well, you're to be commended for seeing that, because I don't think a whole lot of people were really looking for him. I remember when they when it was announced, they were always kind of going, oh, whoa, you know, where did that come from? And it's also interesting that, you know, now they've got three outside free agent signings and a fourth one pending that are all defense, you know, because they also picked up Maurice Kennedy, a cornerback, who's, I think he's probably going to come in and immediately be a backup.
Yeah.
But they've shored up the cornerback room. You know, this is not a matter of replacing Byron Jones. This is getting your numbers built back up, because you've got to have so many cornerbacks.
Yeah, and there's a post that I have on Kennedy on Blogging the Boys that's coming up, and it's basically saying exactly that, Tom, that Maurice Kennedy is a backup corner who played a lot of special teams. He started for three straight seasons at Virginia before coming into the NFL. He's got some special teams ability as a punt returner as well. And I just think that he's kind of a utility player for them, and somebody that they could use as their third or fourth corner if they needed to. So
yeah, and that's also possibly a sign that, okay, they're going to try to give John Fossil a chance to – to get the special teams right by giving him some more players as well. So I see him like that. And don't forget that Clinton Dix has some of that same ability. He can return kicks, return punts. So he may be part of that whole factor too. And the key thing, the thing that kind of surprised me is that he came on a $4 million deal.
It's that safety market, Tom. It's very strange to read, because some guys who you think are pretty good and could command more money than they actually get end up just signing one-year deals so they could hit free agency again the next year.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, I just did a piece that should be coming up shortly on Blogging the Boys with a writer named Eric from Windy City Gridiron. I would mention his last name, but it's 13 letters long in German, and I've got no clue how to pronounce it.
No, let's not even try that one. Eric, we love you.
Yeah, but he and I talked a little bit about, you know, he asked five questions about Robert Quinn, and I asked five questions about HaHa Clinton Dix.
Well, now I'm curious. What did he say?
Well, first off, he said that he thinks Clinton Dix gets some bad raps on being a bad tackler and stuff, which was, to me, highly encouraging. He said that when Clinton Dix was in Green Bay, that in Eric's viewpoint, he had just about carried that defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said he's not a character problem. He's got a lot of other good things. You know, he's not a perfect player. But, you know, if you're looking for a free safety center fielder type, he says he's got a lot of potential to help the team. But what struck me when I was thinking about all this is how the Cowboys are kind of looking to do with him what they did with Robert Quinn. Because it sounds a little bit like, because of the players around him, the coaching and stuff, that Clinton Dix wasn't really used as effectively in Chicago, and Eric kind of hinted around at that. Robert Quinn wasn't being used effectively in Miami. So Robert Quinn Robert Quinn gets traded for on a one-year deal, comes to the Cowboys, has a blow-up year, you know, and turns out to just be a one-year rental. But he's leaving. The Cowboys are going to get more in a compensatory pick than they gave up for him in the first place. Mm-hmm. They're not stuck with any dead money or anything. They got the production. So, you know, it was a short-term win for them. Yeah. And long-term, it has no negative effect. I think they're looking at Clinton Dix very much in the same light.
Yeah, see, I look at Clinton Dix. I wrote about him on Blogging the Boys, too, earlier in the week. And here's what I look at, because I also heard what you heard, which was people talking about his tackling ability. But if you look at the last three seasons and you compare Clinton Dix to Jeff Heath and Xavier Woods, who have been the Cowboys starter, and Byron Jones started one season at safety, if you look at it, they've all averaged about the same amount of games played. They've all played about just about every game that they played, so 48 games, 45 48 games. But you look at HaHa Clinton Dix, he's had 250 tackles to Jeff Heath's 219 and Xavier Woods' 175. I don't see that as, you know, a lot of missed tackles, but we don't know the context of exactly what they're talking about there. Jeff Heath is a big-time tackle-for-loss guy over his, you know, career with the Cowboys. He had 11 in the last three seasons. But what I see is the difference here is that Xavier Woods, Jeff Heath, and HaHa Clinton Dix have all broken up 17 passes that have come their way. But the difference is the fact that Clinton Dix has 8 interceptions and the other guys don't. So yeah. To me, that's – and he has also got 2 forced fumbles. So to me, I think this is a Mike Nolan type of guy. They want a strong safety that can – you know, he can play strong, he can play free, whatever you want to do there, just kind of mix and match your safeties there. But this is a guy that gets his hands around the football and makes plays with the football in his hands. He's had a couple of pick sixes and stuff like that. I really think this is about shooting a little bit of energy and life into this defense and hoping that they can start to turn it around when it comes to turnovers.
Yeah, and another thing that Eric brought up was the fact that when Clinton Dix was in Green Bay, there were seasons there where he led the team in tackles. Yeah. That doesn't go with, God, he's a horrible tackler. You know, exactly. Wait a minute, how can you have the most tackles on your team if you're lousy at tackling? No.
And also, if your safety is the guy that has the most tackles, that often means that your defensive, your front line is not that good.
And I think that was exactly the point. When he is on a team that has, you know, good players around him, he looks a lot better, which is kind of true of a lot of NFL players, but
yeah.
some people benefit from it, some don't, you know. I mean, let's face it, since we were on the topic earlier, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, and Travis Frederick all have had very, you know, awarded careers. And would any of them have had the kind of career they have had if they hadn't spent so many seasons with the other two?
Yeah, I don't think so. So
that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, building, it's called, you know, it's roster building. You're building as strong a roster as you can from 1 to 53.
And I'm not going to say that I'm going to sit here and get ready and reserve an all-pro slot for Clinton Dix.
No.
I'm just saying that I think he gives them some upgrade, and I really think the fact that he has shown he has that nose for the ball, I'm hoping that Linguist, the new defensive backs coach, new secondary coach for the Cowboys, is, and Mike Nolan are going to be focused more on, let's get our eyes and hands on the ball and start taking it away. And maybe the thought is, okay, Clinton Dix already knows how to do that. Not only can he come in and accomplish that for us, but maybe he can help us teach the other guys how to do it a little bit too.
Yep. And lastly, I will mention that just a couple of guys that the Cowboys have brought back. Anthony Brown is one of them, cornerback Anthony Brown. He re-signed a 3-year deal worth $15.5 million. That's the second highest deal that the Cowboys have dished out so far in free agency outside of Dak Prescott's franchise tag and Amari Cooper's deal, obviously, and Gerald McCoy's deal. But the Cowboys also, you said that they were doing some stuff, Tom, for the special teams coach, and that's certainly correct. They bring back C.J. Goodwin, one of the special teams, best special teams players the Cowboys have had. L.P. Lattiser, they re-signed him. Yes. I just keep re-upping that guy. He's got the best life in the world, I think. Just Every year, getting a million dollars.
One of these days, he's going to decide to retire. But I think it's really pretty much on him, because what is there to say we don't want this guy?
Yeah, exactly. And then linebacker Joe Thomas is brought back, has ties to Mike McCarthy as well from their time in Green Bay. Linebacker Justin March is brought back. Both Thomas and March play a lot of special teams. And then the kicker, Kai Forbath, he was also re-signed too, because why not? He was 100% on his kicks. Why?
Yeah.
You know, why not?
I'm glad that I love the nickname someone has for him. He's Kai Six Bedroom Forbath. So I really think that is just a no-brainer. You know, come in, you know, when you've got a perfect streak, bring him in and see if he can keep it going for some games, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we got for you guys today. The Cowboys are looking, you know, at Dontari Poe. I wouldn't imagine that they wouldn't be looking towards possibly bringing in a wide receiver or two. They may just be looking towards the draft, but it's certainly kind of the draft could go any which way. At this point in time, the Cowboys are adding, you know, pieces to their roster. They haven't, you know, replaced Byron Jones or anything yet, but that could come later. You can find him at Tom Ryle BTB on Twitter. You can find me at Mr. Sizemore, and you can follow us at Bruising the Boys and at Blogging the Boys.
One last thing. At the time we're recording this, we're waiting for other things to happen, because dark is coming.
Yeah, dark is coming. We'll talk to you later, Cowboys Nation. Take care, and remember that we are your one-stop shop for all Cowboys stuff. Visit us at bloggingtheboys.com and read all of our articles. Thank you.
Bruising the Boys was created by Tim Phillippe and Michael Sizemore. The show is a production of Shway Media and is brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and is part of the Vox Media Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle and is produced and edited by Tim Phillippe. The show's theme song is by Timmy Two-Step. For more information, visit bruisingtheboys.com.